Hello, everyone. This is now episode 13 of The Cure for Unjust Anger by John Downham. We have just a couple or a few more after this to do, and right now we're in the middle of working on the section of subduing anger by laboring for patience. And we've considered the providence of God, we've considered our own sins, we've considered the examples, the patient examples of others, and now we'll consider two others. Consider how to abstain from too much busyness and abstain from contentious controversy. Now, these two considerations are rather brief in his book, so I'll read most of what he has here. He says, in reference to the first one, abstaining from too much busyness, for the mind is distracted and disturbed with abundant busyness, and thus made a suitable dwelling place for anger. Furthermore, when we are too busy, something is bound to go wrong. When too many irons are in the fire, some of them will burn and inflame the mind to anger. So what Downham has in mind here is not that we shouldn't work. Don't hear him saying that we should not work heartily unto the Lord. He would very much favor that that idea, that motive, that everything we do, and we need to be managing our time well, everything we do we should be doing to glorify God and to work, to strive, to have that holy pursuit of godly living in all that we do. We are held accountable for every minute that we spend. So idleness is not a fact, is not the way of the Christian life. But neither is excessive busyness. And when we are too busy, we have all of these other unnecessary distractions and tasks that we have to complete. And these additional duties and distractions add to concerns on our mind and in our heart. Well, the greater number of concerns on the mind, what's going to happen? The greater number of candidates or possible possibilities for anger. So we have to ask ourselves how we are using our time and into what matters we are putting ourselves. Before I comment more about that, the other consideration he has us to make is abstain from contentious controversy. He says, once people have entered into controversy, they cannot easily give it up. Have you found that to be the case yourself? You get to an argument, and it's difficult for you just to let go of that argument. He says, for they think that it will make them look bad if they are forced to yield, even if they are yielding to the truth. Does that resonate with you? Sometimes in an argument, you know that your wife is right. You know that your husband is right. You know that your kids have seen the matter more clearly than you have, but you don't want to give it up. You're too stubborn. You're digging your heels all the more because of sinful anger. He says, people naturally desire to bring others to their opinions, right? If we think that what we think is true, then we want other people to believe it as well. And therefore, they will use great earnestness to persuade others, often even bursting into anger and fury when they fail. It's because we have a misguided desire, we desire it excessively. We want the person to know it, and we try to control their beliefs by manipulating them or just by being angry that they don't believe what you believe. They don't see the matter as you apparently so clearly see it. So we need to pick our battles. We need to seek to persuade others in godly ways with gentleness and patience. And we shouldn't enter into unnecessary controversy. Now, Downham doesn't offer any biblical texts to support these two considerations, but as I was thinking about them, just a few came to mind, both from Paul's letters to the Thessalonians. In his first letter, chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, he says, "But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands, as we instructed you." So the exhortation from Paul here is to work hard at living the contented life, to live more quietly, to work hard to mind your own business. Now, what he's not saying that you should have no care or regard for other people, but what he is saying is you shouldn't meddle. In fact, he says something very similar in 2 Thessalonians 3:11. And Paul says something, there's a parallel in 1 Timothy 5:13 as well, which I won't read. But in 2 Thessalonians 3:11, he says, "For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies." So we are to be busy at work in matters that concern us, the affairs of the home and in our workplace and the relevant matters at church and in our other relationships. We are to concern ourselves with those issues. He says, but you guys are being busybodies. Now, this word busybodies is not used more than a couple times in one form or another in the New Testament. And even outside the New Testament, it's not used more than a couple times as well. Well, the word refers to someone who is a meddler, someone who is excessively curious, someone who is intrusive in matters that do not concern that person. There's another example of that in the Shepherd of Hermas. This is either a late 1st century or early 2nd century document, which some early Christians viewed actually as scripture, but it's not. But it is instructive when read wisely. But in this section, in Shepherd of Hermas, the 9th parable, there's this instruction given, and he was just given a vision. Hermas was given a vision, and here it goes. It says, not the vision, but here's what comes after. The shepherd said to me, "Why are you debating with yourself and becoming perplexed and troubling yourself? Do not attempt as though you were intelligent to understand things you cannot comprehend, but ask the Lord that you may receive the intelligence to understand them. You are not able to see things behind you, but you do see what is in front of you. Let what you cannot see alone, and do not trouble yourself about it, but master those things that you do see, and do not concern yourself about the rest." So there's that exhortation for him to focus his mind on things that matter. And so both of these considerations, abstaining from too much busyness and abstaining from contentious controversy, are met with putting on. Those are things we're putting off. We're putting off too much busyness. We're putting off contentious controversy. We're not entering into idle talk and unnecessary arguments. We're not inserting ourselves in conversations in matters that really don't relate to us, are not directly relevant to us. We're putting those off, and instead we are filling our minds. We're putting on in our minds thoughts that are holy pursuits, things that truly matter, things that are heavenly, excellent thoughts. We're filling our lives, not just our thought life, but our actions. We are filling all that we do with what we think is the best way of glorifying God. So we search the scriptures and we see how we can, as husbands and wives and children and pastors and elders and you know, churchmen and workers and all these categories of people, we are considering what God says is our duty. And then we are using our time wisely, filling up our time, our thoughts, our behaviors, our attitudes, our motives with what is Godward. And we realize that when we do that, we will have shed unnecessary matters that really don't concern us. And if we do that, then we will save ourselves unnecessary and sinful anger. Again, I hope this was helpful, and next time we'll consider some more ways that we can subdue sinful anger by laboring for patience.